أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل إلا أن تكون تجارة عن تراض منكم ولا تقتلوا أنفسكم إن الله كان بكم رحيما ومن يفعل ذلك عدوانا وظلما فسوف نصليه نارا وكان ذلك على الله يسيرا. صدق الله العظيم. We discuss verses 29 and 30 of Surah An-Nisa. In the previous verses, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had spoken about the reasons why Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had given us these rules. Allah Ta'ala wanted to create ease for us, and He has created ease. Allah Rabbul Izzat wanted us to follow the path of those who were successful before us, the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, and those who followed. Up to now we had discussed various issues with regards to marriage, with regards to paying off the mahr, the rights of orphans, inheritance, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues now, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the value, the safe keep, the preservation of wealth, and together with that, the preservation of life. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. O you who have brought iman, do not eat your wealth between yourselves wrongly, that is, without any right insofar as the Shariat is concerned. The Shariat, like it recognized the need of marriage, the Shariat has also recognized the need of a person sustaining himself. Allah Ta'ala has sent us into this world, and this is a world of means. In order to sustain ourselves, we have to earn from this world. However, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had decreed for us that earn what is lawful for you, eat what is lawful for you. لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل has, in a very beautiful way, many different connotations. That do not eat your wealth wrongfully. One meaning will be that after you have earned it rightly, rightfully, according to the Shariat of Allah Ta'ala, there was absolutely nothing prohibited in your transaction. There was no doubt also whatsoever in the transaction. Now it has come into your possession. How do you spend it? This is one very important aspect. We have this preconceived notion, it is mine, so I can use it the way I want to use it. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do not spend it, do not devour it, do not use it, do not eat it unlawfully against the commandments of Allah. So just as we earned it lawfully, we should also spend it in a lawful manner. So that now will remove every kind of spending that is against the commandments of Allah Rabbul Izzat, spending it in things that are haram, or for that matter transgression, or for that matter israf. And in that way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes that one preconceived notion from our minds. Then the actual earning of the wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept many, many, many doors open for us to earn in a lawful manner according to the Shariat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires that we only earn it according to the commandments of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Insofar as our professions are concerned, insofar as our trade is concerned, the commodities that we buy and we sell, the way in which we do it, the transactions that we carry out, all of it has to be according to the commandments of Allah Rabbul Izzat. And one particular way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about here is إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً عَن تَرَاضٍ مِّنْكُمْ. That when you carry out a business transaction, then Allah Ta'ala is saying that do not eat the wealth between you and lawfully, except that it be a trade with mutual consent. In other words, both parties, the buyer and the seller, or if it is a service that is rendered, the one that is rendering the service and the one that is receiving the service, or if it is a rental agreement between the two, the one that is hiring out and the one that hires, all of it should be an taradim minkum. There should be mutual consent between the two parties. It is not permissible in the Shariat that somebody, for example, does not want to sell, and then you force the person to sell. The person has to sell against his will, or it is taken against his will, even if some remuneration, some wealth or money has been given in lieu of it. That is not permissible in the Shariat of Islam. If we take a basic transaction of a lease agreement between two parties, the lease has expired, the landlord wants his property back, now the tenant refuses to move and he says, I am paying rent. But there is no taradi, there is no mutual consent between the two parties. So that is also not permissible in the Shariat. And there is a whole host of different activities that may take place in a business transaction that is against the Shariat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And that is why Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu so often would say that before you embark into business, into trade, into profession, learn from the ulama the various masail regarding all of that. Thereafter Allah says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, and do not kill yourselves. Now here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again put it in a very, very unique way for us to understand. Some ulama have gone to the extent that do not kill yourselves as far as your spirituality is concerned, related to the first part of the verse, that you deal in things that are against the Shariat, the transactions against the Shariat. Now you're eating haram. And when you eat haram, you are spiritually killing yourself. So that is one interpretation according to some of the commentators of the Quran. And then of course, do not kill yourselves. In other words, do not kill each other amongst yourselves. As far as that is concerned, in the verses coming further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses some details with regarding to that. Then the third will be, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, do not commit suicide. The difficulties of this world can never be compared to the difficulties of the hereafter. We find in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of the difficulties of this world, a person should not desire death. We just have some problems or difficulties, challenges in this world. Do not desire death even for that. Now, killing oneself, committing suicide, is far in greater magnitude in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence in the hadith, we find our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaking about a person who had committed suicide, that if he had done it in this world, jumping from a high mountain, and in that way he committed suicide, then in the fire of Jahannam, he will continue jumping from a mountain, and that will be his punishment. Or if the person had consumed poison and committed suicide in that way, then in the fire of Jahannam, continuously he will be made to drink that poison, and in that way that will be one of his adab. And if a person had used some sharp metal steel object to pierce himself, to stab himself, then in the fire of Jahannam he will be doing that piercing and stabbing himself in the stomach continuously. And hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way shows us that there is the preservation of our wealth, and together with that, the preservation of life. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا. And certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most kind to you. Allah ta'ala in the previous verses, Allah ta'ala spoke about His kindness, that all He wants to do is to create ease for us. And in this, the kindness of Allah ta'ala, we find the entire Shariat that has been revealed to us. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ عُدْوَانًا وَظُلْمًا. And whoever does that, in other words, killing each other, committing murder between themselves, they do it because of enmity and injustice. فَسَوْفَ نُسْلِهِ نَارًا. Then certainly we shall fling them into the fire of Jahannam. وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرًا. And that is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do, to take a person to task. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect us, and may Allah ta'ala grant us only that which is halal. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.